the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And back here we are at the El Pacifico and back with our nighttime show. Last night on Drunk History, we were taping, actually, yesterday, Drunk History, and the whole idea behind the TV show Drunk History, which you will see me on, and I don't really know how long my segment's going to be for, is to get someone who's a narrator of a historical event and feed them booze, and then they narrate their version of how this historical event or this person's life went. And it's actually, I think, a good show because it brings, as they say, it brings history to the people. And it brings history to the people in a way that a lot of people discuss things, which is in the barroom, and a general barroom discussion of things. God knows there's a lot of them, and this just happens to be one in which the topic is history. And I think I can tell you now, without any problem, I wanted to keep it a secret before we actually taped the show, but my topic, and they gave me three to choose from, is Daniel Inouye, the late senator from Hawaii.
Why'd you pick him?
Because he has a very interesting life. He was a Nisei, which is the first generation of Japanese Americans born in this country. The Issei are the ones that came from Japan, and he was born in Hawaii.
Yeah, but that wasn't a state at the time.
Doesn't matter. It was U.S. territory. If you're born in a U.S. territory, you're a United States citizen. If you're born in the United States, you're a United States citizen. There are different things, different rights that you have in territories as opposed to... You don't have as many rights. You can't vote, for instance, if you're in a territory. You have one representative who is allowed to introduce bills, but he's not allowed to vote on anything. So there's some limits, but you are a citizen. And he was born in Hawaii. And went to school, grew up with a real love and respect for America. And it was something that was taught to him by his parents. And he wanted to show his gratitude to this country. That's why he enlisted and joined up with this 442, which was an all-Japanese-American regimental combat. It was a combat regiment, I should say. And they went to Italy and distinguished themselves. They had gotten 18,000 presidential citations. Senator Inouye himself won the Congressional Medal of Honor for his actions in Italy in the closing days of the war. And so, very interesting guy. And so that was my topic. And I was talking about Daniel Inouye while doing Don Julio Añejo shots and demonstrating different things with toy soldiers. And also, just, it's, you know...
Well, wait, so you were stumbling and slurring your way through this?
Well, that, you know, Phil, I commend you, because God knows a great many soldiers have told their own stories in much the same condition, blind, stinking, drunk, trying to get someone to understand. I think probably you're more articulate than the average soldier is.
Well, and the whole thing is to get people to watch a show about history. How do you do that? I think it's pretty ingenious. And the creator of the show, Derek Waters, is also the producer. And I was very proud when he asked, you know. I only can hope that you don't make me look like too much of a stumbling drunk. Because usually I can take a drink and I'm in pretty good shape. But we were pounding this Don Julio, and I had not had anything to eat. I don't know why. I got up. The car was picking me up at noon. I woke up at about 10:30, and I was doing different things. I forgot to get something to eat. I was making coffee, and I had some coffee, but by the time I got to where we were shooting this thing, and I sat down, and I was talking to everybody, and I even started drinking before we began taping, and I said, you know, I haven't had anything to eat. So they sent out for some lunch, and I had like a Subway sandwich.
Well, that's not enough, and no wonder that whatever was in your stomach, the Subway sandwich... And didn't you say you had some candies?
Yeah, you had a couple of chewy candies.
Yeah, I had a couple of candies.
So that's what came sailing back up your gullet when you got home?
Pretty much, yeah. So the only good thing I can say that came out of the day, other than doing Drunk History, was that I probably didn't put on any weight. I probably, my calorie intake for the day was probably like 200 calories.
Well, that's very good. Yeah, that's great discipline.
Yeah, great. That's good, Miss Henry.
That's not discipline. You puked.
Well, it was disciplined nonetheless. You know, at least I'll tell you what was disciplined. I didn't puke in the car coming home. Yeah. So anyway, welcome back to the program here, 855-500-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. Joe Dickhead and the Professor Man, they knocked it out of the park this weekend. They went 12-4, man. 12-4 with their NFL picks. And we also saw a return to the game of the week with Bud Dickman and Steve Bozell. And that was a much anticipated and certainly much sought after and welcome return. And we have Steve Bozell on the line with us here from Corona, California. You guys did the Baltimore football game. It was Baltimore and Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, we did that on the Henry Radio on Thanksgiving Day, which I want everybody to know that was the game of the week that they can download now. If you go to philhenryshow.com, you can download it now.
Yeah, but we didn't do it the way we usually do it.
No, I understand that you guys did the game in a – it was sort of a different approach. You did the game as if you were just watching it on television.
Yeah, that's what we did because people were saying that I had carved it up and butchered it up, and they said Bud did too. And that the way we do football games is a carve-up, and so they said, why don't you just shut up and just, you know, I mean, it was hard to hear. I heard my own wife say that, you know. She said, you two, I mean, you couldn't describe a butterfly flitting, you know, like a fly, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't what?
You couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly?
No, I mean, my wife said that Bud and I sucked so bad at what we was doing that we couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly. I don't know. You know, she just...
That you couldn't describe a butterfly or a fly. Okay, so in other words, you guys are no good at...
Right now, I'm trying to download Adobe on my computer.
Can you pay attention to what we're doing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, yeah. Honey, can you do that for me? I got my daughter. She's going to do it.
Yeah, you're on the air with me right now. Can you...
What is with all of the guests here? They're always sidetracked. Someone last hour was looking at a man's underwear or something.
I saw that too, Mr. Andrew. I heard Mr. Griego talk about it.
Okay, that's great. You know, maybe you can buy a pair.
I'm going to buy a pair of panties? Oh, my God.
No, I'm just joking. But, you know, if you see them around, take a picture and we can talk about it then. All right.
If I see them on a man or...
No, if you just see them in a store, God...
All right, but when am I ever going to see him on a man?
You never will see him on a man. You never will. I'm sure that you won't, because that means he'd have to have his pants off.
Exactly. So I don't know what you're alluding, you know, to.
Mr. Bozell, this is General Shaw. We're not alluding to anything. Just drop it and continue on with your telling the tale of how you, you did the football game, right?
Yes, sir. When we did the football game.
Okay, so your wife says that you guys suck. And everybody tells you suck, so you've got a new approach to it.
Yeah, we got a new approach, and we hope that people like it. But if they don't, then that's okay, you know.
We're not going to get nervous about it.
I'm not being nervous, but I just, you know.
Well, all right, so how did it go?
We had a lot of fun. I described the action on the field, and Bud was, you know, talking about it, too. I will say one thing that people will hear on a download, and I'm sorry that I mentioned it. But I got to let people, you know, I got to alert them to it that Bud cut a bad one, you know.
Oh, God. You know, you're like children, I swear to God.
Well.
What are you talking about? He passed gas?
Oh, yes, sir. And it was just as nasty and as devastating. That's the best word for it. It was devastating. It was demoralizing and devastating. When he cut that, I felt cheapened. I felt my standards had lowered. You know,
this is a fart, right?
Yes, sir. I was trying not to use the word.
Well, I think Phil's trying to clarify because you're talking about it as if it was a moral lapse or perhaps an economic downturn or something. This was just him breaking wind.
Yes, it was. But I mean, what I'm saying is I'm in the middle of a football game and I'm trying to do my very best to broadcast what's on the football, and he lets one go. And I felt as if I'd been very badly betrayed. And
all right, well, I can understand that. Like, you're trying to do a good job, and...
Yeah, I felt betrayed. I felt alone. I felt so lonely.
After a man cut a fart, I'm...
All right. So, all right, but you recovered and...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as best as I could. But I'm telling you, this was as funky as it was. There was a song by Wilson Pickett once called Funky Broadway. That was Bud's fart. You know?
Okay, I get it. We're going to be back here. Hold on for just a moment, Steve.
Yeah, sure.
He sounds very demoralized right there.
I've never heard a guy talk about another guy cutting a fart while they're working and saying he was demoralized and depressed and he felt alone and, you know.
That's why I say he's weird.
Well, you're pretty weird too, man. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More with Steve Bozell on this Tuesday. Don't forget, on our website, philhenryshow.com, all this month, we've got some specials for you BSPs and prospective BSPs, including free downloads, so go check it out. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And also, this past Thanksgiving weekend on Friday, we were very honored to be a part of the Podcast-a-thon, which is Jimmy Pardo's, it is his podcast, extended podcast every Thanksgiving. He does this to benefit Smile Train, and it's a really terrific charity. It is a group of people who, for $250 per surgery, they can correct children that are born in disadvantaged countries and disadvantaged surroundings. They can correct the cleft palate that you see some of these poor children live with. $250 the surgery costs. That's it. And so with Smile Train and the money that Jimmy helps raise every year, they're able to perform surgery on countless kids. And so the Podcast-a-thon was just a blast. There are all kinds of people there. I was there for a few minutes myself. We brought Ted Bell with us. We brought Margaret Gray with us. We brought Jay Santos with us. A lot of people. It was a lot of fun. So if you get a chance to go to Jimmy's website, it's podcast.com. I'm sure you'll be able to check out the Podcast-a-thon. I think it's probably there in the archives. And check out Smile Train. As I said, a group of people that are they're doing the good work, man, for kids that otherwise, you know, you go through life with a facial disfigurement like that. And it, whether you like it or not, it does sort of affect the life choices and the way people are treated. So as a child, to get that surgery and have it corrected and have the kids, grow up without having to deal with that is fantastic. I was very proud to be a part of it. We had a great fun. And found parking.
Now, that surprises me. That was at the Acme Comedy Theater there on La Brea.
Yeah.
Now, and you found parking.
I found it was pouring rain, too. I don't know what it is, but I like going into L.A. I like going into Hollywood, especially when it's raining. And I don't know why that is, you know.
Probably because there ain't that many people there.
Yeah, there's not a lot of tourists walking around, and they want to go, ooh, look, there's a star.
Well, hold on for a minute, because when I first came out to California, my wife Patsy and I, we went down to the Grauman's Chinese, right?
Yeah, that's where the handprints are.
I'm not talking about that. Talk about star.
Why don't you quit with that shorthand? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, don't do the shorthand talk, bud. It drives me ape. All right.
All right, but.
You're talking about the Walk of Fame, not the footprints.
Yeah.
Well, what difference does it make? We went, it's the same area, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's the same. It's Hollywood Boulevard.
All right. Who cares? We were looking either at the stars or we were looking at the footprints. I don't know which, but it was pouring rain. I'll never forget. It was coming down in buckets. It reminded me of Vietnam. It reminded me of a monsoon. And I can tell you, we were in the middle of a monsoon in Vietnam. We had to tie ourselves to the trees to keep from being blown away. It was. I'll tell you right. It was just like that, and we had a ball.
And you had a ball in Hollywood in the middle of a monsoon.
Well, what do you mean you had a ball?
Just what I got done telling you. Do you want me to say it again? I don't stutter.
Is it because of the reason what we were saying, that there was just nobody else?
Exactly. Yes. There were no creeps. Excuse me for saying. No creeps, no weirdos, nobody bothering you for money. I had a great, I took her down to the Hamburger Hamlet, and then we went over to the movie theater, and we saw, I forget, the Captain and Tennille, or some, is that a movie, or is that a bad group?
A bad singing group.
Well, that's what we saw. It must have been, they must have been live somewhere. And
why did you go see them?
Because I happen to like them. I know they stink. But Patsy and I, we love that song, Love Will Keep You Together, and that's all I know. So,
all right, so the bottom line being, yes, it's fun to go to Hollywood when it's raining because there's no creeps.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, I don't think that's a very good way of promoting our wonderful film community and a city that may not have film production in it any longer, but does represent, Phil, that aspect of the film community. All right?
Okay.
And you sitting there and saying, well, I like to go there because there aren't any creeps, only makes us look bad. And I don't think it's good for the people that want to visit that district of our city.
Margaret, Hollywood is jam-packed with people. There's nothing Phil Henry's going to say that's going to make it, you know.
Well, just in case.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, all kind of creeps down there. And a lot of creeps coming up from out of town, too.
Yeah, how do you know the creep ain't like when General Shaw, I'm not saying anything, sir, but maybe you was a creep, you know?
You know something? Maybe I was, and maybe I wasn't. But, Bud, on a good day, you're still the creep when it's between you and me.
I don't know what...
Just trust me, that's good.
All right, so thank you very much for that. Anyway, yes, I did find parking, and it was wonderful. Don Berman's going to join us. We do have Steve Bozell on the line continuing to discuss with us the game of the week that was done on Thursday. Bud, you were there, and Steve, we have Don Berman who's going to be talking with us about Krispy Kreme. Did you know about this?
Yes, and Don has a very good point, and I'm going to let him make his point. Krispy Kreme, the donut, is in the news. Don he's a little put out, and we'll hear from him.
Sounds like he's put out with me.
Phil, don't be did I say anything about you?
Yeah. Okay, Steve. So how was the game?
Well, the football game was very good, and we did the Raiders and Cowboys. We didn't do that. I think you said Raven Steeler. We didn't do that. We did a Raider and we did a Cowboy. And Bud, you know, it was very bad because I'm a Cowboy fan and Bud was a Raider fan and he let it go right then.
Yeah, well, you were all talking about the Cowboys.
Okay, that's fine. I'm talking about the Cowboys. You was talking about the Raiders. But right when I was trying to make a good point about the Cowboys, you cut it loose. And that was the point I was trying to make, Mr. Andrew, about him breaking wind and passing the gas. Okay.
Well, all right, fine. I mean, I think we're forget about that, okay?
Well, I mean, I was in the middle of making some really good points, and he just went ahead and whiffed it. And so I heard back on the podcast because I went home and I immediately listened to it because I'm thinking, oh my God, oh my God. And I had my wife.
Hey, Steve, I want to ask you a question, okay?
Right.
You know, you're a real, you cry way too much, man. You get way too upset about stuff, and you get all weepy and all teary-eyed, you know?
Well, I have to agree with Phil.
Oh, that's great.
See, right there, you can't even take a little bit of criticism, man. So, you know, you went home, and you listened to the podcast. Bud cut a fart. You made a big federal case out of it. Did you make a federal case out of it on the air?
You know, when you say made a federal case out of it, that's what I'm saying. I must have butchered it up. Okay.
Well, look, you got all these people writing in and saying, Steve and Bud are carving up the game of the week. It stinks. It's lousy. You know, we don't like it.
Yeah, so we tried a different approach, and the first day that we're trying a different approach, if you just listen to me, this guy cut one.
Yeah, but I had to do it.
Why don't you step outside of the booth or do something that may be a little bit professional as opposed to acting like a teenager, Bud?
Because I didn't...
Yeah, because he doesn't care. And so I was going, yeah, the Cowboys are looking good. Now, wafting under my nose is what it is, and I'm the Cowboys... And I reacted.
What did you do?
I went, God, you know, I just went, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, why has thou forsaken me?
And you didn't say that.
I think I did, yeah. I immediately the Bible came to mind. And I just...
The Bible came to mind when you smelled Bud.
Okay, you know...
Look at Steve. You're going to have to just live with these little bits these little moments of lampooning and people being critical and people laughing at you because it's pretty weird. So you are on the air and you're talking about the game and you're talking about the Cowboys and you smell Bud let one go and now you are praying on the air. Is that what you were upset with?
Well, the people are listening on the podcast.
Yes, they were listening live too.
Yes, sir, they were listening live.
Did you get any mail or did you get any email or any feedback?
I got, you know, a couple people said, you know... Man, you really hit some all-time, and I knew they was being sarcastic. You hit an all-time high with that one, man. When you're like quoting Jesus as he's hanging off the cross, because a guy cut a fart.
Well, I got to tell you something, man. It's pretty, You know, there's the image of Jesus on the cross, which is sacred to all Christians. And you bring up that because you're having to endure some guy's fart. That just does not...
Steve, it's not the same thing, and I think it sounds like you're trivializing it.
All right, thank you very much.
See, he hangs up. This guy...
Well, I think you got to cut this guy loose because he's a real baby and a half, I'll tell you that.
All right, thank you, Bud Dickman. We've got coming up... Not Bud Dickman. Thank you, Steve Bozell. Thank you, Bud Dickman.
Thank you.
We have coming up on the Phil Hendry Show, Don Berman will be talking with us here about Krispy Kreme and whatever that story is. I think I know. Don is, he's exorcised. He's put out. That's what that means. It doesn't mean the other thing, Eminem. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And I want to remind you that this month on philhendryshow.com, we're going to be offering you a free shot. Let's see, what do we got here, Bud?
Yeah, pretty good. It's pretty good.
Great, that's nice to know. What we're going to do is two free shot glasses for all orders over $75, okay? So if you go into our store, our online store, and you place an order for $75 or more, you'll get two free shot glasses. Courtesy of the Phil Hendry Show. Also, a free digital CD download for all of our new and existing Backstage Pass members, okay? So if you are a new or an existing Backstage Pass member and you buy $75 or more in the shop, you get two free shot glasses plus a free digital CD
Well said.
Thank you. A free digital CD.
Now, what does that mean, a free digital CD?
You get a digital download of any one of the CDs that we offer, okay? So that means, you know, you don't get the hard copy, but you will get the digital copy. The hard copies are going fast and furious. At some point, they're going to be gone. And when they're gone, they're gone. I mean, these are the legacy CDs, the original best of CDs we did between the years 1990, I think it was 97 and 2005. They are all the original artwork. They're still in the packaging. They're as pristine as a newborn baby. And
clean as a baby's ass, too.
Would you have him?
Bud, come on, man.
Sorry.
So,
clean as a baby's, man, you got no manners, man, saying clean as a baby's ass.
Well, you don't need to repeat it.
Yeah, you don't, so thank you.
What did he say? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, just... So go to philhendryshow.com and get yourself the free, get yourself a couple of shot glasses. Any order, $75 or more. If you're a BSP member, new or an existing BSP member, you get a free digital CD download as well as the two free shot glasses all this month as part of our Merry Christmas to you from Boss Radio, man. Why can't we call ourselves Boss Radio?
Well, that was the old theme of KHJ and some of the other radio stations around the country.
Yeah, I know, but that was like 50 years ago. 50 years ago. Do you think anybody remembers? I'm going to start calling myself.
You can say, this is Phil Hendry, Boss Radio.
Yeah, only don't stutter it like that, and you'll sound like some kind of a Bugs Bunny with a spastic... Jesus. You're going to sound like an autistic Bugs Bunny going like that.
No, we won't do that, General. Don't worry. Wow. All right. So Don Berman joining us here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss whatever. Don, I am told that you have an issue.
Yes, I do, Phil. And I have this issue with you and your recommendation of the Krispy Kreme stock, which apparently is going through the floor. Thank you very much. Your comment.
Well, I don't think Phil knows what you mean, Don.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You have not read the news.
No, sir, I have not.
All right, well, because I'm in the news business, I guess I see these things. You were the one that recommended Krispy Kreme donut stock, weren't you?
I never recommended buying Krispy Kreme donut stock.
Oh, come on! You know full well you did.
Wait, hold on, Don. You're not going to come on my show and start yelling at me. You understand?
I apologize, Phil, but do you remember? You're telling me you don't remember.
I didn't say buy Krispy Kreme stock.
Well, were you high on Krispy Kreme? No, when I say high on Krispy Kreme, Bud, I don't mean that he was smoking Krispy Kreme. I mean, were you high on Krispy Kreme as in you felt it was a good buy?
I never said anything about Krispy Kreme stock. I said the donuts were good.
That's the same thing.
Why don't you shut up, bud? What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. No, it ain't the same thing.
Well, if you're saying that the donuts are good, a man can infer from that, though, can't he?
No, he can't. No, he cannot.
So you just heard the general say it, and you heard Bob Dickman say it. And I'm saying this as a friend, Phil. When you're raving on, and this was back, and forgive me for saying this, but it is back when you had a lot of extra weight. All right?
Sure, absolutely.
You were 300 pounds. You don't deny that.
I don't deny that at all.
And you're telling me that I'm not going to look at you at 300 pounds when you tell me that Krispy Kreme is the best donut you've ever had and I'm not going to go out and buy stock? You know, one of the things...
No, no, I don't think that that's a recommendation because I'm fat and I eat the donut. Wow, that's insulting.
Well, Phil, you can understand, I think, how some might think that way.
Yeah, Mr. Evans, but he's saying just because he's fat doesn't mean he's saying, well, I'll buy the stock.
No, you don't understand, Robert. When this man is weighing 300 pounds, when he's tipping the scale at 300, and he's telling me, by the way, Krispy Kreme is one holy hell of a donut, why wouldn't I want to buy stock in that company?
That's your decision. I didn't say go buy stock in Krispy Kreme.
You were fat. Which is the same thing.
No, it's not the same. If you're trying to be funny, man, you're not funny. Okay?
I'm not trying to be funny. Boy, you really assume a lot, don't you?
No, you're the guy that's assuming a lot. You're the guy that's saying... Tell me what the story is. I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, here it is. After Monday's close, Krispy Kreme Donuts reported fiscal third quarter earnings of $6.8 million or 9 cents a share, up from 7 cents a share in the year-ago period. Excluding one-time items, adjusted per-share earnings rose to 16 cents from 12 cents. Revenue climbed 6.7% to $114.2 million. Analysts were looking for earnings per share of 15 cents or $115 million. I'm losing my ass!
They reported $115 million and they wanted $115 million and they only made it to $114.2
million? Only? Look, we were spooked by the company's full-year guidance for fiscal 2015, which calls for an EPS between 71 and 76 cents. Wall Street was expecting 79 cents a share. That's 3 cents down.
You know, this is why Wall Street is a jackass bet. I'm telling you, this is why American business is in trouble. This is why American business... You know...
Well, Phil, don't give me the speech, will you? I'm the guy that bought stock.
Look, you're speaking a language that the average human being is sitting there and is saying, what kind of an ass is this? And what kind of a business world are we living in when because a bunch of morons say, here's what they should be earning, and they don't make that number. They make $6 million less. They didn't even make $6 million less. They made $800,000 less than what they predicted, and that's a disaster?
It's a meltdown, I'm telling you. It's. I'm looking at the headline. Krispy Kreme stock may melt further. Now, if you don't understand business, that's one thing. But don't sit there and try to tell individuals on Wall Street this is what they do for a living.
What do they do for a living? What do they do on Wall Street for a living other than make predictions and then say that a company is losing its ass because they didn't make a number that they thought they should make? You're looking at a company that year to year is going up. Year to year, it's going up. Now, maybe they're trending out, and maybe they're not, and maybe they're spiking, maybe they're not. But all of these people that say, well, here's what it should be, and it didn't make that number, so here's where it is, and so therefore the company's a failure. These people have not improved business at all in this country. They haven't improved, in my opinion, they haven't improved the bottom line, which is, are we making a good product? Do we have customer loyalty? Are we bringing people back? Are we turning a profit, for God's sake? You know, I think it's a disastrous, and I think ultimately it's a nonsensical way to conduct things.
All right, are you done? Because, you know, I wanted to make a point.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, the real world, Phil, doesn't work that way.
See, Phil, I agree with Don. You know, the real world out there, it's not a lot of hippy-dippy, you know?
I mean hippy-dippy.
It's not your little, are they making a profit? Are they, this is about the bottom line on when, I don't know. I agree with Phil. I think it should be the way Phil's saying it. But the way that it is, I don't understand it.
All right, well, now, you don't understand it, Margaret, but you sort of agree with me, but you sort of agree with Phil. You don't understand it, Phil, but you only agree with yourself. Bud, how about you?
I didn't say anything wrong.
All right. What I'm trying to... That's about... And what about you, General?
Well, I'm... Don, please understand, I don't answer anyone's question when it's put to me quite that way.
I apologize, sir. Do you feel that what Phil is saying about American business is true?
Yes, I agree with Phil. I think the way that American business is conducted today is an absolute disgrace, and I would put every last CEO in America up against a wall in front of a firing squad. There, does that answer your question? Finally?
And I noticed your voice cracking.
My voice is cracking when I get emotional.
Well...
All right, so what did it say?
It said, I just told you, investors are spooked by the company's full-year guidance for fiscal 2015, which calls for EPS 71 to 76 cents. Wall Street was expecting 79 cents a share. So the stock Tuesday tumbled 15.8% to $20.67 in morning trading on the report.
Boy, see, that's just asinine. A company doesn't make a number. They miss it by $800,000. It's 114.2, and they were expecting 115. They wanted 79 cents a share, and they're getting a 71 to 76 cents a share. That's their fiscal guidance 2 years from now, or at least a full year. And because of that, the stock falls almost 16%. What is wrong with P? And you know something? If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. It is an emotional business. It really has little to do with sense or with good business sense. It has more to do with just the emotion of the moment, what the other guy is doing, a bunch of monkey see, monkey do. You talk about sheep. You want sheep? There are no greater sheep. There are the greatest sheep of all, man, work on Wall Street. They talk about sheeple. I love to see that phrase. They're talking about, well, you know, if you like Obama, you're sheep. If you like the Republicans, you're sheep. If you're a Tea Party, you're sheep. If you're this and that. Let me tell you where the real sheeple live. They live on Wall Street. And if you think that they conduct business there based upon a sober analysis of how business, they may at some point analyze the business and come up with a very sober estimate. And perhaps they've come up with a very sound and solid appraisal of how things are. But the minute they go on the floor and begin to trade shares, all of that goes out the window when some guy changes his mind at the last second. Well, I don't know, you know, I don't want to buy it. I think I just got to sell. I just have a feeling it's, you know, all that stuff goes out the window. It's like that time I was telling you guys I saw Chuck Berry.
Oh, is that the Chuck Berry with Keith Richards?
Yeah, Chuck Berry was auditioning a band for a tour. One of the guitar players was Keith Richards. They must have gone over this one note a million times. It got to be, I was irritated for the other band members because Chuck Berry's, come on, you're getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong. Well, then when they finally get out on stage, all that rehearsal they threw right out the window. And just played it probably. And Keith Richards said later on, he says, you know, Chuck Berry's one of my idols. He said, but this guy's rehearsal, the way this guy rehearses is just lousy. He said, we work our asses off, and then he throws it all out the window and just does whatever the hell it was that he feels like. Man, Wall Street's the same thing.
Well, and Phil, you know, that's a nice little speech. Again, you're taking about 10 minutes for every 2 seconds that I get. And I'd like to be heard, all right?
Go ahead. I'm not stopping you.
Well, you're taking up a lot of time. And the point that I want to make is this. I got hosed, you know.
All right, hold on. I got to take a break.
Oh, sure. Of course you got to take a break.
Well, all right. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Well, now it's too much pressure. I got to think of what it was that I wanted to say.
Well, you were saying that you didn't have enough time to talk.
No, I don't.
Go ahead.
Forget it.
Well, are you going to stay on the line?
Yes, I'll stay on the line. But when I come back, I would like to be heard because I'm going to think up something to say.
Very good, Don. I concur. I commend you for that.
Thank you very much, General. I know you're being sarcastic.
No, I am not being sarcastic. I commend you.
Well.
Okay, hold on, Don. Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News on how I steered him wrong because I said Krispy Kreme was a good donut, and because I weighed 300 pounds when I said it, Don automatically thought that meant go out and buy Krispy Kreme. Well, guess what? He went out and he bought Krispy Kreme, and he thinks the stock price is tanking. I haven't... This... The way they analyze business in this country is insane. It's insane. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back. Famous Phil Henry Show. What?
The
you're busy making everybody laugh and you miss the cue.
I'm sorry.
You're making Nikki laugh back there and you're missing the cue on the music, and it sounds like...
It sounds pretty doo-doo-like. You know.
Well, sounds pretty doo-doo-like, huh? Well, that's very professional.
I didn't say that. He did.
All right. Anyway, welcome to the program. Welcome back to the program. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is on the line. If I got to reach down, Bud, and I'm telling you right now...
I'm sorry.
If I got to reach down and turn this fan off one more time, I told you I was going to throw it in the street. It's going, but then you're going to follow it, okay?
Sorry.
Well, why don't you just turn it off, Bud?
Because I forgot about it.
Yeah, man, you forget about it all the time. It's almost like you're like that guy. Good thing you weren't driving that train, man.
Well, that's a little harsh.
Yeah, let's not...
No, I'm serious.
If I was driving that train, are you kidding me? I would never... Are you nuts? I never fall asleep on a train.
All right, okay. That's a harsh thing to say, Robert.
Well, I'm telling you, man, this guy, how many times you got to remind him?
Dude, why don't you do it?
I will.
Fine. Whoever wants to take charge of turning the fan off, turn the fan off, please, if you were driving that train.
You would, man. If you're driving that train, man, he'd have fallen asleep as soon as I left the station.
Yeah, everything is on a computer. Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? Everything's on a computer.
That's a very good point. You know, everything is autopilot now.
Yeah, but they've been flying. Let me explain something. What that guy did is the same thing as a pilot who flies an aircraft falling asleep and forgetting to land the aircraft properly, you know, thinking it's maybe still on autopilot when he took it off of autopilot.
What?
How's that possible?
What do you mean, how's it what I'm saying is, if a pilot can stay awake long enough to land an airplane safely...
Well, how do you know he does that?
Because I haven't heard of any aircraft crashing as the result of a guy falling asleep at the switch. I mean, I've heard about aircraft crashing. I've heard about all kinds of pilot error. I've heard about all kinds of structural failure. I've heard about all kinds of weather happening. I've never heard of a plane crashing, not recently, because the pilot was asleep as it landed.
Well, but Phil, there's more than one pilot.
Yeah, see, she got you. She got you.
Man, this isn't a contest, you know.
Well, it is a good point. He has the co-pilot.
Okay, what if they both fell asleep? You know, what was that plane?
Yeah, that one time it did.
There was a plane? Yeah, thank you. There was a plane that overshot Minneapolis because both of those jackasses had fallen asleep. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. That was...
Yeah, that was the one airline that they're always falling asleep on.
Northwest.
Oh, that's, yeah, they, when did they wake up?
These guys fell asleep, and they woke up, like, over Wisconsin or something, and they said, holy God, can you imagine that? I mean, how embarrassing. But there's more to it than meets the eye. These pilots, a lot of them are not getting paid anything. I don't know who's flying these aircraft. I mean, I know there's a union, okay, and I recognize that that you have to be union certified, which I think is good, but... The prestige, the pay, the actual job of being an airline pilot, it ain't like it used to be where the guys are walking through the airport, you know, and wearing the uniform and looking...
Well, it's like that movie Catch Me If You Can, when that young man...
Yeah, he wanted to be a pilot?
Yes, he wanted to be a pilot, and he pretended he was a pilot, and he had all those girls.
Did he actually fly an airplane, that guy?
What guy are you talking about?
There was a movie called Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks. It's based on a true story of this guy that was an imposter. And he just made up, you know, he played it doing a lot of different things. One of them was being an airline pilot. He was being chased by the FBI. This one FBI agent was chasing him, played by Tom Hanks, who actually was a composite character. He represented more than one guy.
What, the guy that was the pilot?
No, the FBI guy, played by Tom Hanks, was a composite character representing more than just one guy.
What?
What are you talking about?
Are you kidding or something?
The character that Tom Hanks played, in real life, there wasn't just one character, there was more than one.
Well, yeah, I figured that.
You figured that, huh?
Yeah, like the whole FBI.
Well, it wasn't the whole FBI. The people that were on this guy's case, there was more than one FBI agent, and so the character of Tom Hanks represented those guys. Do you understand?
Sorta.
You know, you guys really are getting on my nerves tonight, man.
Well, I don't understand the way you say stuff.
Let's get back to Don Berman, shall we, and talk about Krispy Kreme. Don, are you there?
You know something, Phil? I have to agree with the young man there that there are times when you do not explain yourself in the most accurate of terms. You said that Tom Hanks was many different people, and for a moment I thought you were inferring his mental health or something.
No, I was talking about the movie Catch Me If You Can.
Well, I finally figured that out, and then you said that he represented a great many people. I thought you were talking about investors in the film. I had no idea.
Well, I knew what Phil was talking about. He was talking about the FBI and what else?
Never mind, okay?
Well, now, Phil, don't get like that.
Come on, Phil, you be a man about it.
Be a man. I tell you what, I've only got a minute left, Don. Is there anything else you want to say about Krispy Kreme?
Oh, okay, honey. I mean...
No, I gotta go. You got a minute, so what do you want to say?
Well, I'll say this, that I think you did me a disservice by putting that weight on and then saying, hey, Krispy Kreme is fantastic. Obviously, I'm going to look at how fat you are and hear your endorsement of Krispy Kreme, and I'll realize this guy eats an awful lot of that. I think I'm going to say thumbs up on that buy, and I called my broker and I said, buy all the Krispy Kreme you can.
Because I was fat and I said it was a good donut.
Yes.
All right. Don Berman, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a look at the Krispy Kreme stock price. We'll see whether or not Don has been given a bum steer. We'll see whether or not there are holes in, in his purchase. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back in just a few minutes.